Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Plus minus.
Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry!
Tim Kawakami deserves all the credit then.
Plus minus.
Curry driving again. Good! Oh, you're kidding me!
Tell Marcus that he asked that question about my defense. You hear that, Marcus?
Anthony, you know me well, buddy. Y'all have a great night. I think he got the highest plus minus in the season in NBA history. We here. We back.
Welcome to Warriors Plus Minus, the non-Japan version.
I know. How can I be on the non-Japan version? How is it possible that I am on the non-Japanese version?
I feel like this should be like, we need to have a meeting about this. We need to get the Japanese people together. One of their legends has decided not to go to Tokyo for an NBA game. I don't get it, but hey.
I don't know. I got to reassess everything there. The whole thing was a 49ers related thing, so maybe I made the wrong decision entirely. I was like, yeah, I got to be around the 49ers. That's something I've got to do. I think I still have to, but I wouldn't mind being in that group over there in Japan right now for a few days, but I'm skipping it. We've sent Anthony Slater. He will obsess over every detail out there. And we will, you and I, Marcus, will be
including
watching
on TV. Sugar from BTS.
Yes, yes. I thought that might happen. You're getting in the right territory over there. There's going to be a lot of that stuff out there, as we know. That's what these things are. They're more about the appearances and the hooking up with Rakuten.
Brand building, baby.
Yeah,
brand
I mean, Rakuten's going to own. I mean, they're going to own this trip, right? We know how big that is. And Ryu Hachimura from Washington. Like, there's a reason why it's these two teams. And there will be tons of that. I don't know how much there is going to be to really write for Slater, but he's done this before. He went to China at the beginning of the Athletic, MT. Those were the early days of the Athletic Bay Area.
Do we get a Tokyo Clay? Do we get a Japan
we'll get
Clay?
Something. Yeah, there's going to be something. I think Steph is bigger there. Like Steph's got the Rakuten connection, so I think Steph's going to...
Clay's the one who's going to do something that goes viral. Like, that ain't going to be said.
He's got the Asian vibe. He just does. Like, Clay's definitely got the Asian... That was like his... That's like the beginning of the Clay kind of karma,
yeah, remember,
right?
China Clay?
Yeah. It wasn't really... Like, Clay was kind of like...
He was a space cadet, right? Like,
yeah, he wasn't Clay. And then he goes to China and it all changed and he just picks up that vibe. He's had it all along, but I just think Asians in the Bay Area, Asians in Asia itself, really kind of identify with Clay, and he identifies somewhat with the Asianness. It's kind of cool. So yeah, there will be something from Clay. There will be something.
Yeah, I also think this is a big Jordan Poole opportunity here.
I do think to get Jordan that market. Get
the, yeah, I think I do think Jordan Poole will catch the vibe and enjoy the show of the brand building, because that's what this is. This is about building a brand. Do you think it's much of an issue, like these, you know, international trips in preseason? Do you feel like, I don't know if I remember correctly, but it felt like when they got back and they started playing, like, I remember it being something they kept talking about.
Oh, they were talking about it in, like, December. Well, I know, because Slater was, I joke about this with Slater, like, he talked about it.
Yeah, so Slater was editor back then. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not his editor now, but back then, it was like, he's like, oh, I'm kind of tired right now. I was like, Jesus Christ, Slater. It's like, that was 2 months ago, but I get it. It does mess you up. Think about if you're Washington, no MT. Like, they're flying across the country, and then they're flying to Japan. I mean, that is unbelievable. So,
so that's what, like 16, 17 hours for them?
17 hours, they said. It just is unbelievable for the system. These are athletes who are trying to, you know, compete at the highest level. I think the Warriors have kind of been through it. They kind of know. I mean, you know, how often have Draymond and Steph and Klay been back to Asia in the last few? I mean, you know, there's been, you know, Draymond playing the Olympics, Kerr playing the Olympics. These are guys who are used to some world travels, but they'll be tired from it. We'll get a feel from Slater again. We'll see if he's a
Slater as the barometer, right? Of yeah. Professional athletes.
He was sleepy. This is gonna get back to Slater, but I did say
I remember this now. Last weekend.
He was like sleepy for like 7 weeks after that. It was hilarious. But I think like, was it Kerr like canceling shoot arounds?
Yeah,
at least a few weeks. Like, oh god, we're still getting our legs back. Like, that's a long time, but. It's different. It's different on the body. This time they built in that, you know, it's early, so they built it in. They got the, you know, another whole week, basically, a training camp after they come back.
The break, yeah.
So it'll be basic. This is like pre-camp, kind of like get in some work, and then they're going to come back, and they're going to have their real camp, you know, first week of October, basically.
The part that's interesting I wonder if it helps. Steve was talking about the bonding element and how, like, this is pretty rare for a team to win a championship and then defend it with, like, half the team being different, right? Like, there's a lot of turnover. And even if the roster, like, didn't turn over, the rotation certainly has turned over. So Steve was thinking that this might be good for a team, like, bonding experience, right? It reminds me of a member. It was the Bulls. Where did they go? It was, like, France or something 1 year. And it was supposedly, like, you know, according to the documentary, it was really helpful. But I wonder if it helps in that sense, where you got guys like Moody and Kuminga, who's supposed to be having bigger roles, Wiseman, who's in the mix, right? And then you got like DiVincenzo, right? Jermichael Green. I wonder if that ends up helping in the long run, because like they won a title and they don't have the consistency of the team that won the championship, right? To me, That's going to be interesting to figure out if that maybe kind of is the silver lining in addition to the exhaustion that they will feel until Christmas.
Yeah, we're going to hear about it through Christmas. You know what I thought was interesting? Andre Iguodala, they made a point to have him on this trip, and Andre agreed to it. Like, he didn't have to get on this plane.
But come on, you know, he got a tech deal waiting for him in Tokyo somewhere.
No question. I'm still laughing about you.
I wonder how much he makes on this trip. I mean, he probably makes $100 million on this trip.
$100 million.
Strike some kind of deal.
He's making podcast deals in Japan. You got it. But I'm still laughing about you saying last week that he's cutting deals with Steph and appearances on this podcast in order for him to come back.
I'm convinced now, because he's saying he was gone. He was out. He said he was done and then he went to work out. It was like, why am I doing this?
Steph, I need 4 appearances. Okay, I'll give you 2. Okay. Finally, we agreed to. But they made a point to get Andre on this trip. I mean, I think it's clear. You know, I thought Bob was interesting the way he was talking about it when we talked to him last week. You know, he didn't say there's a deadline, but he definitely sounded like they're, you know, not tiptoeing through this. Like, they need to know pretty soon.
At least have him tell them, like, I'm not coming back for camp, right?
Yes. Yeah. Like, they got to get somebody, get Rondae Hollis-Jefferson or whoever in there, and they didn't. And he's on this flight. He's in Japan. I think they want him around Wiseman. They want him around Kuminga. They want him around Moody. And for those guys to know, Andre's going to be around all season. And I think it takes lifts a burden a little bit off of Steph's shoulders, off of Draymond's shoulders, and off of Steve Kerr's shoulders, maybe even more importantly. I'm surprised that it happened so fast. That we all were feeling, right? We were feeling that Andre was going to come back. But the fact that it happened before Japan, and he's on the plane to Japan, he's getting, you know, whatever practice. He got a practice in already, right?
Before I'm going to go ahead Japan. And say it's because of us.
Because we pushed him.
He listened to the pod. He was like, what are we doing? I might as well do it.
I thought it was going to be the other way around. Wait, I'm ready do this. And wait a minute. Slater, Kyle, Comey, and MT think I'm coming? Forget that.
I'm out.
I'll go play some more golf.
Hey, the reason of Warriors plus minus is too solid to overlook. That's all I'm saying. The reason we present, the accuracy that we possess, like even Andre Iguodala had to agree. And then next thing you know, the announcement comes and he's going to announce it. Like, come on.
It was fast. I just think we were reading the signals correctly that he doesn't show up to talk to Rick Celebrini just, you know, for nothing, right? He's trying to see if his body can come back. The smoke signals were very clear that the Warriors were expecting him, but they couldn't say it. And then Slater pointed out they did not invite another veteran to camp. They could have snuck one in, you know, later, but they didn't. They put out that list. Here's our players. Here's coming to camp. And right, they subtracted somebody right before camp, right? They put out a list. They subtracted that poor guy. They had him out, put him back out. That pulled him out.
He was the Rule 10 guy, though, right?
Well, but guess what? They wanted to have 20 people, and Andre Iguodala is going to be one of them. So it just makes sense for everybody. It calms everything down. Steph is happy. I just love that he said, Steph, last one. This is the last one, Steph. It's like, this is the reason.
I told you. He's really good. It's really Steph, right? It's hilarious.
I tell you what, you and I are going to get ready to leave, and then we're going to go, okay, I can't really tell Steph no, so I'll do one more year. That's what's going to happen. You and me are both going to get this whole Steph.
I'll tell dynamic. Steph no in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know
Goodbye.
About that.
Goodbye.
I dare you on that one.
I'm trying to think. Have I? Have I ever told? Yeah.
Has Joe Lacob ever told? Maybe on no trade clause.
No trade clause, right? Yeah, absolutely. No trade clause. That's what he didn't get. Andre, you know, might as well stick with the theme. I'm writing about him right now. I asked him one of the things that he wanted, like that he missed, that he's looking forward to doing again on the court. And you know what he said was very surprising to me. He said he wanted to score more. He's looking to score more. And he's kind of, it feels like he's not bucking against this kind of Udonis Haslem idea of his role. Like, he wants to play. And so his thing is, last year, I remember you pointing this out. He played a lot early and kind of paid the price at the end. He couldn't get on the floor much in the playoffs. So I think his plan is to reverse it. Like, chill early. And make sure he's ready for the playoffs. Can he give anything? You think Andre got something left to give, like actually on the court, or is this more of a Udonis Haslem role?
It's close to Udonis Haslem. I mean, it really is, and the Warriors aren't hiding it. It's because he, you know, he's there with Wiseman, he's there with Kuminga, he's so important. Moody looks up to him. I think he can play. Like we saw, he can play. It's just, what, was he going to play two games and get hurt again, play four games, get hurt again? I think even if you play him limited minutes, although we all were like, all right, buzzer up. Like Kerr's playing him like, what, 20 minutes a game, 22 minutes
a game? He was closing games.
It's like, what are you doing? First sub in, he's closing house, he's closing games. Maybe back off of that. Although, you know, Steve, I mean, it's going to be very tempting for him to keep going with Andre if Andre's out there.
I mean, Andre is a safety blanket. He has been this whole time. Like, he just feels comfortable with him.
And guess what? They don't have a third point guard. Like, I say it all the time.
Whoa, 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 you know, whoa.
Who's third point guard?
Ryan Rollins. Come on.
Ryan Rollins is not your third
He's
point
right
guard.
There.
At the
He's
moment.
Right there.
At,
He's
at
right
the
there.
Moment. Yeah, no. you're gonna put him in there and against the Clippers? Probably not. Against the Suns? Right at this moment, I think Andre Iguodala might be their third point guard. Again, not that you play with the point guard very much, and there's many games that Andre's not going to play at all, but when you talk about like a thing they need, it's somebody to settle things down when Steph's off the court, or even let Steph go off the ball and someone who can just set up the offense. Jordan Poole can do some of it, but we all know.
But he's
Jordan's
not
best.
That yeah. though. Jordan Poole's like basically Steph, right?
Like, yeah, Steph's
you
like,
want
let
him
me go
attacking,
get it.
Attacking,
which
attacking,
you want yeah. him to be. You don't want him to be the ball who passes, gives it up, and is done. That's Andre, you know, and sometimes it's Draymond, and that's fine. But Draymond's only that when Steph's in the game, right? He's not that when Steph is not in the game. Well, Andre could be that. Again, all of a sudden we're giving him these roles, we're giving him these minutes, and I think they really want to cut back on that. But would he play 32 games in the regular season last season?
Yeah,
last
so, 30, but 26 like before the All-Star break at 19.9 yeah. minutes.
Yeah.
And I then think after All-Star break, 5 games at 16.9 minutes. Yeah. Steve was running him into the ground.
It's crazy. So maybe 10 minutes.
That was part of the negotiation. He's like, Steve, man, you got to chill with them November minutes, yo. Like,
30-minute games. That's not happening.
Like save me. Say, you can't do that, Steve. That's probably in the deal. That's got to be in the deal where he's like, yeah, nah, none of that. Opener, TK, the opener, he played 23 minutes.
That's amazing. It's just
amazing.
And then
the next game, he played 24 minutes, right? Like,
like, Steve, you got Jonathan Kuminga out there. Why don't you go play him some more? You got Moses Moody. Go play him.
Steve was wild.
I was looking through this. Like, you start going through the rotations, and I kind of have Andre out. And you know me. I start looking at rotations. I don't really count Andre because who knows, and he's not going to play, probably not going to play the majority of games. I think it is very likely. So who's, you know, you see it set up, but man, it's hard for me to find a place for Kuminga other than as kind of like an Andre role where he does a lot of different stuff, because you got DiVincenzo as your backup two, you got Jordan Poole as your backup one, you got Moody probably as another wing is playing, then you've got Jamichael Green, you've got Wiseman.
You playing Moody over Kuminga?
Yeah, I think Moody, if you're just putting the rotation together right now, I think Moody is somebody Kerr is going to feel more comfortable with. Just as that one of the wings, someone's got to play the defense, and we know Kuminga can, but I don't think they think of him as a team defensive guy quite yet. So we know Kuminga's going to play, right? He's going to play, but that's the one I'm kind of trying to peg for a role, and I don't have it, and I'm sure Kerr doesn't have it in his head yet. It will develop. You know, maybe Jamichael Green plays more with the ones, and so then you get Kuminga as the four and the twos. I don't know.
Are those minutes for Wiseman set? To me, I could see him going with Jamichael Green at five and Kuminga.
Yeah, like, no, he plays three centers, right? He plays three centers, sometimes even four if you count Draymond. So yeah, there could be some borrowed minutes there because we know Looney doesn't.
I mean, he was playing Otto Porter at five.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Jamichael Green. To me, that's the question, right? Like, is Wiseman locked in? If Looney's not on the floor, it's Wiseman. Is that what he's doing? But that's not even really Warriors basketball, right? Like,
it's so, not, yeah.
So to me, it's like he's going to go small. I agree with you that I think the Kuminga at 3 minutes might be tough. It's got to be front line. It's got to be four. And can you put him next to Wiseman?
I think it would be fascinating. It could also be horrible, right? We could imagine.
Unless Jamichael Green doesn't play. Right.
Yeah, but I think they're gonna play him.
I think so. Yeah. You know, they love the veterans, right? You know, yeah. He'll do
Although
the dirty work.
I'm looking
work.
At 26.6% from three last year. I know it's not his career is like 35, which is very solid. If he shoots 27% from three, and he's shooting two or three of them a game, that's not gonna be sustainable. But I'll give him.
I was wondering. Well, I feel like something happened. I don't know.
I mean,
it's a serious drop. Right, yeah, it's a serious drop.
Massive. It's a.
He was like 40 the year before, wasn't he?
Yeah,
like, it was
he's
close.
Like, he's like a high 30s, you know, mid 30s guy, and for a big, that's clearly good. So we'll see. It probably was a 1 year aberration. I don't know. I mean, what was Clay? You know, Clay was probably 32%, and we know that number. What was Steph? Was Steph 37, 38, and we know that's an aberration. So it could have just been one of those years. If Jamichael Green's making a three a game. Like, how many threes a game did Porter make at the end? Like, zero? But he still was the threat. They wanted him out there because he could shoot. If Jamichael Green can shoot and Wiseman is, they're restricting him to rolling and none of those ridiculous low posts, you know, I don't know what the efficiency rate on those was, but it was not good in his rookie season. If they just are limiting Wiseman, maybe, you know, it's like when he wasn't starting his rookie year, he'd come in and play the one shift in the first half. And if it was good, he'd get a shift in the second half. And if it wasn't good, that's it. That might be it. Jamichael Green might eat up all the other minutes at the center.
You know what complicates this a little bit, though, is like Jordan Poole's going to play a lot of minutes, right? So that means when Poole is coming in the game, especially probably to close, Kevon, the center position is out. If you're looking... Hey, who do you take off the floor? And maybe it's more Wiggins this year, right? Because you can do that, right? Because it's like, hey, Wiggins, relax. We'll save you for the postseason, right? You don't have to be the Iron Man.
Although you're a pending free agent. And we haven't
Although you're trying to get 38, 40 million, right? Yeah. But it's like if Poole, who probably, you know, wants to be a starter, is a starter, is playing significant minutes as a backup, that eats a lot of that weirdens the rotation, right? And eats a lot of minutes. So it's if he's, I mean, I guess you could say he's got that 12 running the second unit, you know, automatically. But if he's a guy, I mean, that ain't it, right? You got to find another 12 somewhere.
Yeah, those are the Draymond minutes at center, which always happens. So,
and that automatically eliminates all of these other options, right? Like,
yeah, well, it shaves it down. It absolutely shaves it down. But, you know, Kerr does that with his center. Like, there's what center has played 30 minutes a game under Kerr? None. Zero. Not Bogut. Not, not any of those guys. So
to me, that's where Kuminga can get in. Like, those minutes where Draymond is at center, then he's next to him at the four.
Do you think he's a four, not a three? That's what I'm thinking. He's a four, not a three.
I'm thinking he's a four,
not a three.
I thought
he was a three last year, but, man, I think he's a four.
It's the handle. It's the handle. Like, he's got to get the handle tighter. It would help if he shot better. But I think their mindset, even Andre was saying it, like, if you watch his dunk package, it's all cuts. They want him in a mindset of off-ball movement, right, instead of on-the-ball movement. But you put him next to Draymond, he's in the dunker spot. You got, the three perimeter guys, whoever they are, who can shoot, right? Yeah. So you figure it just makes a lot of sense. Now, the question is, like, how many of those minutes? Because normally that's Wiggins going to the four, right? So it's just tricky. I mean, they got a lot of guys. It's going to be tricky. I think it ends up being the jostle between Jermichael Green and Kuminga, unless Kerr sees him as a three. Then it's a jostle between Kuminga and Moody. Right, I mean, I'm kind of inking in Moody.
I agree. I think he's gonna.
I feel like he's gonna play. Yeah, he's gonna play.
He played. Kerr put him in a West Conference Finals. Right, they just told you like he feels comfortable. I can count, and he had a good game, at least one good game where he hit some threes, and he doesn't get out of position. I think with Kuminga, they're just worried he's gonna stampede out of position, and everything's gonna have to readjust to him. I do like the idea of tying him with Draymond because if Kuminga gets out of position, and Draymond can help him get back in position, or he can play two positions by himself.
It also opens the paint for him because Draymond's going to be out handling the ball.
You know, and there's going to be a ton of games where Draymond doesn't play, where Klay doesn't play, where Steph doesn't play. So those are other minutes up there. But if we're talking about when they're playing whoever, the big team, Boston or the Suns in a regular season game, or they're in the playoffs, what's the rotation going to be like? I think you and I are both saying Kuminga's the one that we're not entirely sure because he can do so many different things and he can get reckless in so many different ways. It's just hard to say this is where you got to put Kuminga because we both feel that Moody, and I'd say Jermichael Green has a spot, at least to start. Like, those two guys have spots. Kuminga, again, I wrote it down. I was like, God, I forgot somebody here, but I can't figure out exactly where to put them. And that person is Kuminga.
You know who else is going to be interested in that they keep bringing up is DiVincenzo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They love Dante.
Yeah, he's going to play. You know, I don't know his game that well, but I've watched it. He feels like
for a
nice
champion.
backcourt partner with Jordan Poole. Like, he doesn't need the ball. He's not an ISO guy. He can cut. He can move. He can defend. If he stays healthy, that's a nice backup backcourt. That is a really solid. And doesn't necessarily they're only going to play together because Klay will be in there and Moody will be in there. Like, they're going to, you know, Kerr always mixes that up. But when you're talking about when Steph's off the court, it's going to be DiVincenzo and Poole, and I kind of like that. We'll see how DiVincenzo holds up, you know, health-wise, and is he really, you know, you do need to play defense when you're in the backcourt with Jordan Poole. He can do that. But yeah, I think DiVincenzo can go get the toughest opponent perimeter player. Then Moody can help out there too. Again, that's another reason why you're playing Moody there. Until you see
Jordan Poole's lockdown defense this year.
then I'll admit it. All right.
Jordan Poole, watch. D'ing up this year.
Then it'll be worth $35 million.
Oh, man. They better hope not, huh?
What did you think? Again, I wasn't at Media Day. You were. I can't believe
you blew your streak for 49ers.
First time ever. Me and
For that performance?
For that game. 11-10. To Draymond. Comment about not expecting an extension obviously jumped off the page to you. Was it to you? Do you think he was making a point to say it? Like, I'm not getting this deal. What did you think the reasoning was behind him saying like that? Or is it just him authentically not thinking he's going to get a deal?
It felt like he was combating the idea that he was going to be a problem, right? It felt like he was saying, look, I can read the room. I understand what's happening. I'm probably not going to get this deal now. I know you're expecting me right now to go full heel, but it's not happening, right? Like, we're about to go defend a championship. I that's the first thing I thought was like, wow. Like, if you're Bob Myers, isn't that exactly what you want him to say, right? Like, it's almost like Myers wrote it, right? So
If I'm Bob Myers, I can't even expect him to say that. I think, like, even in the best of worlds, I would not have expected that.
That's
I would
what
have
I'm saying.
You know, I would expect Draymond to say, it is what it is. You know, sure, I want a deal, but, it, you know, we'll see. You know, he said, I don't expect one. It just totally takes the kind of, you know, the temperature way down, not the same.
Right? It automatically is like, all right, I'm not going to be the problem.
Yeah, he said he didn't want. Now, doesn't mean he's happy about it, but he's, you know, realistic about it. That's very interesting, and it allows everything to be pointed towards Jordan Poole. I just think, like, I immediately thought he's saying that because he knows Jordan Poole is the priority. That's the deadline. That's the young, you know, he's referring to, you know, player like himself who's made a lot of money. He's been in the league for a while. It's different than Jordan Poole, who's never made that money. Draymond is so smart. Like, he's like, say, pointing us to, like, this Jordan Poole thing.
That's the immediate next thought, right? Okay, Draymond, he's got it. He's fine with it. Who's next? It's Jordan Poole. It's Jordan Poole. Yeah.
Mentally would need it more than any of them. We all think Wiggins is cool. He's made, no, he made $140 million on his last deal. He's still got another year.
And he's going cool. to yeah. make another oh, massive deal.
It's yeah. like, it's like, that's taken care of. He never gets hurt. Not that Poole has been hurt very much, but, like, that's the guy who you can see all focuses. Okay, that's the guy who they're going to look at. Doesn't mean they're going to do the deal. But again, you know, you and I and Slater, we can kind of read these things. It feels like, by, first of all, Myers saying, we've got a meeting with his representatives after we get back from Japan. When's Bob ever said something like that?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, never. He's never that concrete. It's always, discussions, we'll see, maybe yes, maybe no.
You what never do you think, know.
Marcus?
I don't
yeah, Marcus,
know.
Marcus, what do you what think? Do you what think? Do you think? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's usually the way Bob talks, which we understand. I get it. It's within the margins with a Myers interview, but when he just openly says, we've got something scheduled with Jordan Poole's representatives after we get from back from Japan, and we know there's an October 17 deadline to this deal, that's, to me, the Warriors saying, we want to make a deal. Doesn't matter. I mean, again, doesn't
here's
mean,
the really yeah. interesting part about that, TK. You know who also Jordan Poole's agent also represents? Andrew Wiggins.
Yep.
But he
yep.
didn't say...
Did not say, yeah, we're meeting with Jordan Poole's representative.
He didn't say we're meeting with Poole and Wiggins' representative. He said we're meeting with Jordan Poole's representative, right? That's good. I was That's like, good. Yo, that, wait a second, aren't they the same? We're not doing a two-for-one here. This is not a package deal. This is not a boy band forming here.
That's a like, good point.
He's just like, yo, we're dealing Jordan with Poole. Jordan Poole's
Jordan
agent.
Yeah. Yeah, Jordan Poole's agent. Yeah.
I mean, that's,
no,
that,
don't talk about Wiggins.
Signaled,
we're not talking about Wiggins.
That yep, signaled, yep. like, who's the priority. And to me, I think it should be one. You know how, like, at Media Day, I know you know this because you've been to all of them, even though you didn't come to this one. But the real stuff is not at the podium, right? It's catching them
the,
in between.
The milling around.
You called this before, too. Like, if there's anybody who's going to be okay with not getting the deal, like, I'll show you. It's Jordan Poole. You, TK, there was not a shred of concern on this guy. Like not, and he was even great with the media. Think about, like, he was even confident. He was,
that transcript was like,
yes, he was talking. Yeah. Yeah. He was saying all the right things behind the scenes. He was jovial. Like, we've seen guys come in here without a contract and you're angling and you're working. You get the sense that Jordan Poole is like, I mean, it's really up to y'all. Right? Do you want to pay me? If not, I'll get paid at some point. But you already know who I am. I knew I am. I'm about to show you. And I do think they get a sense, like, this thing could be $35 million if they let, you know, if they let it, if it goes out. And if you can get them now, if they get them now, it won't be $35 million. So, right? So if they get them now, whatever, if they could get them now, it's probably going to end up being a lower deal based on, like, how he's going to perform and what the desired commodities are, right?
It's still a bet. It's still a bet, right?
It's still a bet, no question. Yeah. But it's a much safer bet, right? So to me, like, Jordan Poole is like, he's got that mindset where he's got that kind of aura about him. Is like, hey, I've already shown you, like, I don't get fazed by anything, right? So this isn't going to bother me at all. And if he has a big year, especially if we're talking about guys are going to sit, can you imagine the amount of games he's going to have where it's like, okay, Steph, you're out. Klay, you're out. Poole, go cook, right? And all that stuff is just going to feed the phenomenon of, hey, you know, can you imagine how many times he's going to, you know, make a gesture about give me the money or all that, right? All this stuff is going to, he's going to have all those moments this year. And I do think they, they kind of get that sense. And if you know anything about Bob Myers and the Warriors and what they do, they bank on dudes who believe in themselves. If you have that like delusional level of confidence, the Warriors pay for that, right? They're like, yeah, this dude, there's something different about him. And you could tell the guys that they don't do that with, right? Like, they're throwing a bunch of money.
Or they go through the roster very quickly.
Absolutely. Yeah. So like he kind of fits that mold of we can bet on this dude to take this money. And now he's got to go prove he's worth it. And they bank on that, right? Like, they kind of live for that. He fits that mode, which is why I think they'll get something done. But if they don't, you know it's probably Jordan Poole saying, that ain't enough. I'm going to get more later.
And that's a sign of a really good player. You know, it's a sign of a confident player who's won a championship. I think that would be the difference. Like, we go back to the Steph rookie contract where, you know, he had the ankle issues.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
a great team. He wanted the money. Like, that he really wanted to make sure
the security,
that he was set. Yeah, he was set. And as Myers has said, he's done pretty good after that, right? I mean, there's not, like, a worry about Steph getting shortchanged in the dollar amount right now. But he did that time. But, again, different situation, whole different world. And now Jordan Poole's championship level player. We know that he probably will be this for a long time, and he scores. And the NBA market is about
scoring.
That is the NBA market. Even if he has a sort of down year, you know, he has a couple of good playoff games, he's going to be he's as good as these other Jalen Brunson, maybe you take
Anthony Simons,
and maybe you take Poole, but they're all in that same category. It's all about $30 million a year, a little less, you know, and that's where I think the Warriors will come. We'll go, okay, we'll give you right in there, $27 million a year. Will you take it? And if he'll take it, they're going to give it to him. They're not going to blank about it. Now, that does raise money issues in the future, which
that's
I'm going to write about.
That's like
tomorrow.
A $24 million jump on his salary.
So you multiply that by 6.75 or even more by 7 or even more, then you're talking about they're going to have to clear out some money.
And now you understand why they're in Japan.
Rakuten says, how much money is this?
Raising that money. Hey, once they get this BTS deal popping, they're going to be able to sign everybody.
Yeah, they are not going to lack for cash. It's just a matter of how much they're willing to. Because they're going to lose money if they go to 450. I've been told this by multiple sources. Like, this is what they're saying. They're going to lose a lot of money if they go. Because you just can't make that back. You can't make up for 450. If you stay at 380, again, which is the highest salary in the history of the league, I think it's the highest salary in the history of North American sports, then if you count, you know, you got to count the luxury tax. But can they hold it at 380? Now, if they're giving Jordan Poole a 24 million.
They only lose for 1 year, right? Because then.
Well, then you got some guys coming off, but you might have to extend some other. Yeah, you know, it's like even if Clay comes off the books, either you're
down 20 million, that covers what you raise with Jordan Poole, basically, right?
Yeah, so. I mean, it does.
I mean, he's at 45. Like, it's crazy.
Yes, exactly.
It's crazy.
Exactly. The 1 year thing is a great point to make because, again, we're only talking about 1 year, but people are telling me. Let's just put it that way, that they're not going to go there for even 1 year. They're not going to 450 for even 1 year. It's just it couldn't be made up, even with all these other revenue streams. And you look at the other franchises that do make less than them, but they're right there like 150, right? And then if they're at 150 and the Warriors at 450, the $300 million is a hard thing to make up. So I'll explore the ways that they might be able to get out of this.
I'm telling you, they could make the $70 million difference with a BTS deal.
Just boom, done deal. Boom, done deal.
There you go.
We will be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Here's your money, Jordan. Here's your money.
Maybe more than that. Maybe more than that. I think somebody told me, and I don't even know if this is true anymore, but you know, the Clay Anta deal, they said at some point that Clay's relationship with China is going to make him over $400 million total.
Oh, like, no question.
Was, yeah. It's like, no question. That, I mean, that was early.
His deal was crazy. Yeah, his deal was early, crazy.
Yeah. The profit participation, and they were projecting that he's going to own a team in China down the road. Now, again, that landscape has changed some. I don't know if it's changed totally, but like this is a $400 million.
Can you see Clay owning a team?
That's what they're telling me. I don't know. I mean, that was a while ago. Who knows? Or it'll be some version of Clay will be treated like an owner in China. He will be. That's the kind of the stature he has because he was the first big one to like really. I mean, you got Yao, and I'm not trying to say it's anything more like that, but. It's the first NBA guy with no previous ties to China really romancing and really being embraced.
Really leaning in and getting that China money.
And this was like 6 years. When was the Anta deal first signed? Like 6 years ago? Whenever. It was right when that was starting. And I was just asking somebody, what the
Well, he signed it and then he re-upped, right? Okay. Like he signed
so maybe
the first
it was the
deal and re-upped.
One, yeah.
It was like
right
14,
when the China
I think,
Clay stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, right when the China Clay was kind of beginning. And they're going, this is a $400 million deal. It's not the $400 million deal like now, but this is going to be a $400 million deal for him. It's like, whoa. Warriors make some money. Let's put it this way. If you're associated with the Warriors, you do make some money. And there are ancillary ways to make this money.
You better believe that's what they're telling Wiggins and Jordan Poole right now.
Yes. And Draymond. Draymond.
Like, Draymond knows, probably.
Yeah, I mean, Draymond could leave. I think that's the one we all are saying that he could leave. But he also knows if he's Draymond Green for the Indiana Pacers, it's a lot less of a brand than with Draymond Green doing podcasts after getting thrown out of a playoff game. It's a totally different situation. He's on TNT because he's been associated with the Warriors. He's great, no question. Great player, Hall of Fame player, great personality, brilliant person on TV. But it's because he's associated with the Warriors.
That but he's been so he's big. Built up enough now where I'm sure.
Yes, he could leave and still be Draymond.
Yeah, he wants. Yeah.
Yes. It's just a matter of degrees with that one.
Another interesting thing to me was Steve's relative excitement about the turnover in the youth. He said they're going to coach more. They're doing a lot of teaching, right? How is Steve? I mean, I think we kind of gloss over it some, right? But this dude was like, career was in jeopardy, it feels like, not that long ago. It was a while ago, but he seems to come a long way.
His entire life was absolutely
15 and 50 in 2019. We're wondering, how long is he gonna do this? Does he want to do this? But Steve feels like he likes this, the development, the building, and even though they won a championship, he kind of still gets to do that, right? He still gets to watch guys grow and be a part of it. Do you feel like Steve might be a bit re-energized or energized by this?
I don't think it's a question. I saw it when he started working with the Olympic team as the assistant coach. It's like, that's a commitment to an offseason. And this is a guy, back in, 16, where he needed offseason to just like to try to get his legs back under him because we know the back situation. We know the time off he had to take. First of all, I do think that is further evidence in his mind that he loved coaching. Like, he was fighting his way back to coach. He did not want to walk away at that point. Many others would have, right? And there's many others who would not have coached.
Are you saying he didn't fight his way back to GM
He did not do that. or back to TNT. Like, this is what he believes is he's meant to do. The health situation was something he had to deal with. If he got through that, he was going to want to coach for a long time. He wants to coach number 30 for as long as possible. Who wouldn't? And I think the Olympic thing also is like, he just loves that. He loves that, the camaraderie. He loves looking with the other coaches. He likes, you know, just assembling with great players. I think he loves that great players are like trying to chat him up. Like, hey, you know, Devin Booker. Hey, you know, how about me being on that Paris team? So I think that's all a big part of it. Also, and we can talk to this, I think the reassembling of the player development staff has really helped. I think I've heard, this is John Lynch telling me this, because this is Steve Kerr telling John Lynch, that is it JAMA or JAMA? Now they're saying JAMA. I've always thought it was JAMA, but we'll say their way, JAMA Malela, is so good at the organization of this development, like just getting Wiseman and Moody and Kuminga and now Patrick Baldwin and Ryan Rollins, like kind of, you know, organized, set up a structure. And I think that takes some of it away from, like, Steve knows it's being taken care of. Steve knows that there's a step-by-step process here, and he sees the players getting better. He sees them flourishing. You've got Iguodala. I think that is a big, like, it's been mentioned to me several times that this, the restructuring of the player development system is just kind of giving everybody, like, this is coming. Like, this, again, we'll have to see whether it's on the floor. But I know the owner loves it. And the owner really loves the way this player development system is going to feed into the future. Now, they bet a lot on it, so they have reason to be optimistic about it. But I just think in terms of what Kerr is dealing with, he just doesn't have to worry about that stuff. He just has to check in with JAMA. He's got to, you know, and there's other, Chris DeMarco and other guys involved with that. But, like, he just knows this is feeding really nicely into what they want to do. Dejan Milosevic is also a huge part of it with the bigs. I think we all saw Looney. Looney's a better player, right? He got better at finishing, which is the stuff I made fun of him for years that he couldn't finish. And he's actually kind of finishing pretty well at the rim last season. And I think that's only getting better. Wiseman, same thing. We'll see what Dejan does with that. They just got that set up now, and I think that really helps Kerr's mentality, just his approach to the way the season's going to unfold.
I'm really interested in seeing Dante DiVincenzo. Just the way they're talking about him makes me want to see him, and obviously they kind of fashion him as that, you know, rebuttal to losing GP2. I'm curious to see, like, how his offense look if he can shoot the ball. But I do think defensively, if he's good, it could be pretty interesting, right? If he's good, I'm just curious to see how he fits. They really are raving about him. Who are you interested to see? Who are you looking forward to?
I always say Patrick Baldwin. You guys make fun of me. I don't know. I just want to see him.
You're not interested in seeing Patrick Baldwin.
Kuminga. I mean, is he still stampeding around and with no kind of, you know, caution, or is he under control? You know, it takes a long time, but Kuminga could help them in so many different ways. He could start games. He could be their, you know, the second unit guy. He could be,
like, he could be their point of the defense, right? Yes. Tip of the spear, right?
Exactly. Like, you know, you're looking for guys who can play defense, and I'm thinking DiVincenzo, I'm thinking Moody, you know, those wing defenders. We know Wiggins is going to get the first assignment no matter what. And again, it's just like, as I was doing this, I kind of had Kuminga to the side because I had Iguodala. They could go send him at Paul George or whatever. It's like, you know what? They got Kuminga, who actually was doing that at some point during the regular season last season. He was the guy, go put him on a great wing player. They put him on point guards at times. So is Kuminga fitting into a structure? Do you see him like, okay, he was this wild horse, his rookie? Of course he was. He's 18 years old. Second youngest player to ever win a championship. The youngest ever, by the way, Darko Milicic. It's hilarious.
Really?
Is he? Yeah, because he was a rookie on the Pistons team. Yeah. Right. They didn't draft Carmelo, draft Darko, and win a championship, and he never plays. We're all curious about Wiseman. That'll come as it goes.
That's who I thought you were going to say.
Yeah, I'd switch just because Wiseman's the one who I always say, and Baldwin. But Kuminga, because I've just done this exercise. I just sketched out a rotation. And he's the one I've got to the side with three question marks. Like, he could go a lot of different places here. I just don't know where, and I don't think Kerr knows where. And he might be not in the main rotation to start I think he would be, but he might be just because you're trying to find something for him. You have to kind of jam him in there somewhere. You can play him with the starters. You can play him with Steph.
They did not pay Otto Porter to make Kuminga out of the rotation, right? Like,
yeah, I agree.
But assembling a roster is different than like when it's time for Steve to make the lineup. But that would be an odd development, right? It's like, yeah, you know, Otto, we got Kuminga, go ahead. And then it's JaMychal Green.
Yeah. I mean, there will be nights there where it is, and there will be nights, obviously, when it's Kuminga. It's just hard for me to say that Kerr's not going to play JaMychal Green. I mean, he's going to play him. Like, that's a Warriors kind of player. How many times have they just put Porter in there because he's a Warriors kind of player? JaMychal Green could be very similar. He's tougher, right? He's even tougher than that. He's going to be scrapping and scraping. They need someone to go, you know, go get.
And Draymond together are going to be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, you know, Jokic is having a night. You go get him, you know, just see what you can do. There's other players. There's not that many other players, but there are other players. You could give him a run on LeBron. You know, you could just, he's one of those kind of players. They love those kind of players. And if he can stick a jump shot, it's going to be hard for Steve to say, I he's not getting minutes. So it's just within that thing, they've lost all these players. And yet, yeah, they had Kuminga. They got rid of all these players to get him more minutes. And now we're still trying to figure out where to play Kuminga. It is an interesting thing. Mostly it's because he does not have.
I'm going to find Joe if that happens. And put a recorder in his face.
First five games, he doesn't DMT.
Joe Lingham, any thoughts?
Quindary Weatherspoon is playing minutes and Kuminga's not. Your thoughts? He will get minutes. I don't mean to claim that he won't. I'm just saying.
But it's still a prospect that might come true, right?
Like there's times where you're not going to be able exactly to know where he's going to play, especially if they're playing Wiseman. Because however much I would love to see those two together on the floor, I could see why you wouldn't want to do it. I could see there would be issues with that, potentially a 9-0 run where they're, you know, running into each other in the lane, getting lost on defense. I think it would be fun to watch. I compare it to the Rodman Sally kind of Pistons championship years when that second unit would just run up and down. That's all the big guys just ran and played defense. Maybe they can, maybe they can't, but that it's just going to be, I think Moody's going to get set minutes. Wiseman's going to be the second center. However minutes he gets, he's going to be the second center. And then everything else, I'm not sure with Kuminga and some of these others. It's just, it's curious. And this is why Kerr says he doesn't have rotation right now. He doesn't, because who knows? And the young guys are going to play a lot in Japan. If you and I stay up late enough or tape it, we'll be able to watch those games. And then more clearly once they get back here and start playing some games.
Last thing before we get up out of here, I was trying to think of, like, Steve Kerr always finds a way to use the guys at the end of the bench. So I was trying to think, like, who emerges from that mix? You got the two rookies, right? Patrick Baldwin and Ryan Rollins. We know they like Quindary, the two-way, and Lester Quinones, right? Like, that's four.
I don't know about Quinones. I don't know about him, by the way.
I don't know. I don't either. I wouldn't be surprised if Mac McClung somehow makes it.
Because that two-way, it isn't like a guaranteed for the rest of your two-way. You're our two-way right now, and you might not be our two-way.
Is it a fair bet that Quindary is the one who can kind of find his way into the minutes? Because, you know, he did already.
He did. Wing defender, right? I mean, I saw Baldwin say it. He's so smart already as a rookie. If you can play defense, you can play for Steve Kerr. Right, period. You play defense, you play for Steve Kerr. Quindary Weatherspoon plays defense. He's tough.
Wing. I'm just going to give Baldwin all that praise.
He's my guy now. He's so smart already. I've never seen him play, but it's like he's my guy now.
He just repeated what Steve Kerr said. he figured this out.
Which is smart. Which is
smart. I'm not saying he's not smart, by the way, but it's just funny.
You repeat what the coach says.
I don't know. I want to see Ryan Rollins. Like,
yeah, I mean, okay,
there's something about him. They just gave him the spot. They gave him the spot out of Toledo before Summer League.
Yeah, when he was hurt. When he was hurt.
Like, yeah. There's something about him. But when you talk to people, they're like, yo, he's got a little bit of edge to him. Like, he's got some dog in him. He
reminds
like
me
that.
Of a Memphis Grizzlies player, which, you know, I love Memphis Grizzlies player. Like, that's like a tough two who can get into, you know, shoulder it. And we'll see, but can shoulder into the lane, get off a tough shot, does not get pushed around on defense, can, you know, bang through screens. Not that they fight through screens too often. They switch everything. But just can play big, can play small. I agree in a minute, but we're just doing that off of highlights. Like, I mean, that's
basically, but, yeah. You know, I want to see. I definitely want to see.
I would say that Mac McClung might make this team as a two-way because they're going to want somebody else who can dribble the ball a little bit and pass it. If he will pass, I saw him shoot mostly. Yeah,
he don't pass around.
Like that kind of stuff. You know, they're going to play the two ways, right? Certainly on nights when the veterans are taking off. This is the weird thing. I was kind of going through it, and we don't want to wrap it up, but like they just don't have those edge of the roster veterans, like JTA, Damian Lee. Like they had those guys who barely ever played, and then they'd play 25 minutes. They don't have those guys because of the
they're all youngsters, yeah.
Of this roster. So there's some guys who could be in those roles, although, you know, I don't think they'd be too happy if that's Kuminga, right? Kuminga's supposed to have a bigger role. Like they have this weird where they don't.
I'm gonna need you to stop sliding Kuminga down the end of the bench. Come on,
Kuminga's gonna start. He's gonna start. It's a different feel because they always like, oh, their things are not great. Veterans don't have it. Let's just put JTA in there and see what happens. They don't have that guy in this moment. They might find that guy, but maybe they don't have him on the roster at all. Like it's just going to be a little different for everybody watching this rotation, watching this roster come together. And I think Kerr is saying that it's like, he doesn't know. There is no JTA. There is no Damian Lee. Like they just need someone to make a shot. Someone's got to make, no one's making, it was Damian Lee. Who's it going to be on this roster? DiVincenzo maybe, but no, he's more considered part of the rotation. Who's the extra guy? Don't know. Maybe it's Rylan Rollins. I don't know. Maybe it's Mac McClung. I don't know. I'll just say that I'm curious about this stuff, the middle to the back end of the rotation more than I've been, you know, maybe since 2014, which is probably why Kerr's saying it too.
All right. Me and TK are going to do a live room for the Tokyo games. At
3 a.m.
All right. It's,
no, we're not. I don't want anybody to be mad at us when that does not happen.
He don't want to do it. I'm down. He doesn't want to do it. I can say that. Because I know he's never going to do it, so I can act like I want to do it. But, yeah, no, I don't want to do it. But I guess we'll see you when Slater gets back. How about that?
Slater.
Until Slater then, peace out.
Slater's sleeping right now in Japan because it's 3 a.m.
Deuces.
Omaha! Omaha!
It's a great time out!
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.